ध्यायामो लवलावगुण्डनवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम् नित्यं निरन्तरानन्दं चिद्घनं ब्रह्मनिर्भयम् श्रुत्या तर्कानुभूतिभ्याम् अहमस्म्यद्वयं सदा. Yeah, we'll discuss just the first three sutras of Narada Bhakti Sutra. So Narada Bhakti Sutra is one of the Bhakti Sutras. So even as sutras are there for all philosophies like darshanas, the shat darshanas that we have, Nyaya system or Vaisheshika or Vedanta or Mimamsa, all those have sutras. So sutra itself is, in short, like we have already discussed this in while learning the Brahma Sutra, Svalpa Aksharam Asandigdham Saravad Vishvato Mukham Asthobam Anavadhyam Cha Sutram Sutra Vidho Vidhu. So I don't want to translate and spend much time into it, but sutra is something which is very simple, the minimal words are used. So that whatever can be, it's a capsule form. So it's for easy remembrance, easy contemplation, but still it will have everything. So it's not, it is restricted or limited, doesn't mean that it doesn't cover all the fact. So something like it's saying that, oh, I don't know mathematics and science and philosophy and this, that. So rather than telling that, I don't know. So it's a simpler version, concise version that still has all the import of what we want to emphasize. So sutra means capsule, simple, few minimal words, simple, easy to remember, but still it has all the import. So whatever the author wants to say, that is also there in the sutram. That is what sutram means. Sutram means like that which is very concise. So concise, but still it has all the necessary inputs. So bhakti sutras, there are basically two bhakti sutras available. So one is attributed to Narada, so it's called Narada Bhakti Sutra. And the other is called Shandilya Bhakti Sutra, which is attributed to Shandilya Rishi. So there are controversies as well, like any other work, authorship is under scrutiny, or like it's something that is controversial, because Narada himself uses his own word. Narada says so. Thus he mentions in a few places in Bhakti Sutra. So it's like telling I'm writing a work where I write my own, I say Hari Ram says like this. Generally not a norm that is followed, because the author himself is writing, so his name doesn't need to come. But there are some people argue that it is fine. That is fine because some cases the author will write as if it's an independent work. It's not about his view, but it's about bhakti in general. So Narada gives all the bhakti views that are prevalent or that were prevalent during his time, and thereby, while mentioning those views, he mentions his view as well. So that's something that we can say, or some people argue that way. So both are there, but Narada Bhakti Sutra is generally considered to be written by Narada. There are some commentaries as well to it, some bhashyas in Sanskrit. So Narada Bhakti Sutra is very closely tied to Bhagavatam. So in many places, in one or two places at least, Narada himself says that bhakti is like the gopis. The devotion of the gopis, that is real bhakti. So it's not a reference, direct reference to Bhagavatam, but gopis are being gopis as not just bhaktas, not devotees, but gopis having ultimate knowledge as well. That means they are real devotees who have merged on to Ishvara. That is being praised in Bhagavatam. So the same concept Narada also uses here. He speaks about gopis as having knowledge. So which means it is closely related or tied to Bhagavatam. Narada Bhakti Sutra is split into 5 chapters. I don't want to go into each of those chapters. 5 chapters are there. In total around 80 plus, around 84 or 85 or something around sutras are there. So in the first chapter, Narada tries to speak about, it's called Parabhakti Swarupam. So Parabhakti or Parabhakti can be called supreme devotion. Parabhakti or Parabhakti, both are fine. Parabrahman, Aparabrahman. So para, some, like generally I use the term para. Para means higher or supreme. Apara, that's how generally it's used. Para also we can say. So supreme devotion, the nature of supreme devotion is being explained by Narada. So now devotion, so we have learned the 12th chapter of Gita as to what devotion is. Mayeva mana adatswam hai buddhim niveshaya nivasishyati mayeva to dvamna samshaya. Person who fixes his mind onto Ishvara, constant thought of Ishvara, and buddhi, his intellect is also focused on Ishvara, which means that he has knowledge about Ishvara, that Ishvara's very nature he knows. Ishvara is all pervasive, Ishvara is eternal. So that is what, like, the nature of bhakti itself is being explained. The same thing is being explained by Narada in the first few sutras. So the first sutra is like any other sutra, any other sutra work, the first sutra of any other sutra, like where Narada says, Athato bhaktim yakyasyamaha. So Athato bhaktim yakyasyamaha. Atha means now. Ataha, therefore means, since there are diverse views, since there are lot of bhakti views, so I am trying to collate all those views, like we do collate things. I have to like find out about people, so let me collate the information and give it to my manager. Similarly, Narada says, okay, Ataha, since there are diverse views are there everywhere, so I am going to put them all together into one. So bhaktim, therefore bhakti vyakhya syamaha, we are going to expound. So now there itself we can also find that Narada vyakhya syamaha means we. It's like kind of, but we are going to expound bhakti, unless I am wrong with grammar, maybe my memory is weak now, but that's how Narada says there. So it means that Narada is not going to give his own view, he is going to give the views of other acharyas as well. So it's like telling, okay, now there are different mahatmas, like Amma is there, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is there, Ramana Maharshi is there, there are many such avataras. So let me collate all of them and put into one. Like Vyasa did, okay, Ishvara, the Ishvara Leela, Ishvara's glory is spread across all Puranas, across the Vedas. So let me collate them and put them into Bhagavatam with import on Ishvara. The same Narada does here as well. So let me collate the views of bhakti and put it into just one work. So this is also, this work is also important, because without bhakti, as Tyagaraja says, sangeeta jnanamu bhakti vina. So with sangeeta jnanam, or for that matter any knowledge without bhakti, bhakti means sticking on to it. So bhakti can be interpreted in different ways, but bhakti means, generally when bhakti is mentioned, it is kind of a sticking on to something, so dedicated. So that's what is the meaning of bhakti. Oh, you lack bhakti towards your work, means dedication is not there towards work. So here bhakti towards Ishvara, that means bhakti towards knowledge. So any knowledge without dedication to the knowledge, okay, I have gained knowledge, but what is that? I know driving, but still I don't drive, so it's of no use. So knowledge is there, I know driving, but still I have a car as well. I know driving, I have a car. I have to go, like my office is 2 miles, so I can't walk, there is no bus, I have to drive, but still that I am not dedicated to the knowledge, therefore my friend drops me. So that is some places we can find where knowledge is there, but bhakti, the dedication is not there. Ultimately bhakti and jnanam, both are almost one and the same. As Krishna says, mai eva mana adatsva, that is bhakti aspect. When a person constantly thinks about Ishvara, that is bhakti. And when a person knows that this Ishvara is all pervasive, that is knowledge. So knowledge and bhakti both have to be together. So the normal bhakti that we, what Shankara calls as jnanam, is both bhakti and jnanam together. What Narada calls as bhakti is also this bhakti and jnanam together. So that means supreme bhakti or supreme knowledge is one and the same. We will see as we learn the later sutras. So both are exactly the same. They are not different at all. So bhakti is very essential. Yeah. There are many people, there will be many people like who have knowledge but they are not dedicated. So that dedicated feeling has to come, then bhakti has to be developed. So there are very various ways to develop as well. So the best way to develop bhakti towards Ishvara is as simple as trying to know his nature. So that is where bhakti and jnanam both merge. So the moment jnanam becomes complete, that means a person is convinced that Ishvara alone exists. That means automatically he will be dwelling in Ishvara. Bhakti automatically comes. So bhakti, like if a person has to be dedicated to Ishvara, then dedicated, like he will be fully or completely dedicated only when he knows that I cannot do without Ishvara, because he is the truth. He is the ultimate truth. He is the only person really existing, so I cannot do without him. Therefore that dedicated feeling will automatically come. So that's where bhakti and jnanam are one and the same. So bhakti, and this, like Narada will speak about different levels of bhakti. So bhakti can be split into two basically, para bhakti and apara bhakti. Supreme devotion is where bhakti and knowledge merge. It is just one, and that means there is no duality at all. So it means a bhakta, there is bhakta, a person who has the attitude of devotion, and there is Ishvara. Ishvara is the goal of the bhakta. So the bhakta has a goal. I am dedicated. Oh, dedicated to what? Dedicated to whom? So that goal, that object is Ishvara. So bhakta is there, Ishvara is there. And when bhakta goes more and more towards Ishvara, his bhakti increases, his knowledge increases, his bhakti, the more and more the bhakti goes towards peak, he'll become more and more one with Ishvara. And when like he becomes a real true bhakta, perfect bhakta like Krishna says, then he will merge onto Ishvara, there will be no duality. So that is para bhakti. And apara bhakti is when a person is living in the world, he is a sadhaka. So he has a goal, he is a bhakta who has the goal of Ishvara, which means the difference between Ishvara and himself is there. He is trying to reduce it, he is trying to merge onto Ishvara, but he hasn't succeeded yet. So that's basically two types of bhakti. So Narada here tries to speak about what is bhakti. So what is bhakti? First he has to say, like, what is the bhakti that you are trying to speak about? Let me hear about it. What is the bhakti? So Narada gives it in two sutras. So the first one is sa tu asmin parama prema rupa. Sa tu asmin parama prema rupa. So sa means bhakti. Bhakti, the word bhakti is pulling, it is feminine. Therefore, since it is feminine, the word is feminine, therefore sa is the word used for females. So sa means that bhakti, tu, definitely. Asmin means in the goal of Ishvara. Parama prema rupa, parama prema rupam. So it is of the form of, or of the nature of, supreme love towards Ishvara. So what is bhakti? Supreme love. So that is the simplest way of explaining bhakti. So in this bhakti definition, we can find para and apara bhakti as well. So supreme love to Ishvara, that is bhakti. Supreme love means what? Oh, when a person really loves another person, so what happens, we can find in lovers. When a person really loves another person, then obviously like they cannot remain separated. They have to be one, they have to become one. Of course, they cannot become one, that's Namarupam. They cannot become one, that's why they get married, they try to become one, becoming one is impossible, therefore again it splits and it goes on to the next person. But love, like any love, the culmination of supreme love is when there is no difference. So between the object, the bhakta, and the object of love, which is Ishvara, there is no difference. So supreme love, which means merging onto Ishvara, is bhakti. So that is bhakti, that is para supri, that is bhakti as per Narada. So that means any other bhakti is fine. Oh, I don't need, like, what about those people who say, oh, I want to be different from Amma, I want to experience Amma, I want to enjoy Amma, Amma's beauty, Amma's compassion, I want to enjoy. I cannot enjoy if I become one with Amma. So I don't want to. If somebody says, oh, that is also fine, that is not fine, Narada doesn't say that definition for his bhakti. Supreme love, parama premam. So parama premam, supreme love. So we can find supreme love, Narada himself says about gopis. The gopis never found themselves different from Krishna. That is where their devotion, their love was supreme, because they were not able to differentiate themselves from Krishna. So supreme love is when a person becomes the object of love. So that is when love becomes really supreme. So here Narada is speaking about supreme love, like where a person merges. Oh, parama premam can be interpreted differently. So I don't have to explain it. Luckily Narada knew that people will doubt it. So the next sutra is Amrita Swarupacha. Amrita Swarupam. Bhakti is of the nature of Amritam. Not your roommate bhakti. So bhakti Amrita Swarupacha. It is Amrita Swarupam cha, and Amrita Swarupa, it's of the nature, very nature, its very nature is immortality. Oh, is immortality the nature of Ishvara or bhakti? Here Narada says about bhakti. Bhakti is immortal. So it's like telling, oh, Ishvara is immortal, bhakti is immortal. So it's like telling x is equal to 10, y equal to 10. It's pretty obvious that x is equal to y. Both are not different things, both are one and the same. So if bhakti has to be immortal, then bhakti has to be one with Ishvara. Oh, two immortal beings can exist. It's impossible for two entities to be immortal. There is no such concept. There is no such concept. There will be some doshas, anyunya, ashraya, dosham. Dependency, mutual dependency, lot of other defects will be there. So there cannot be two entities that are immortal. There is only one entity which is immortal. As per the scriptures, Bhagavatam or any scripture speaks about only one reality as immortal, non-dual reality as immortal. So here if bhakti is immortal, then what Narada says as parama premam is when a person becomes Ishvara. So that means bhakti is what? Becoming Ishvara. So how can we become Ishvara? Can we really become Ishvara? We don't have to, because we are already Ishvara. So that is what Vedanta says. We are already Ishvara, and how? Oh, we are already Ishvara, but still I don't experience Ananda. Because a person doesn't contemplate on the fact, on the truth that he is Ishvara. Any minute we think that I am Ishvara, automatically Dukkham will run away. So wherever Ishvara is there, Dukkham cannot come there. Oh, but still, like, I am not able to pursue the thought. So Narada will be saying at a later point of time, Narada will be giving us the way, sadhana. There is a chapter for sadhana itself, how this supreme devotion, how this immortality can be achieved. Narada himself will tell. So that is when a person thinks, when a person sees, when a person speaks, when a person remembers, everything is just Ishvara. So such a person, a real bhakta like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see that wherever he would be, people or historians say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu couldn't stand in one place. He'll always be dancing around, he'll always be singing. So can Amma be even for one or like one entire day without hugging anyone, without helping out anyone? She cannot. Oh, she is not touching people, embracing, but still when she is giving discourse or singing bhajans, she is in fact consoling a lot of people like us. Okay, bhajan, I like bhajan. Why like Amma's discourse? Many people are there. So Amma cannot live for 1 minute without that. Similarly, here also, like, we are Ishvara. So a bhakta, real bhakta, is one who tries to have that Ishvara chinta in all his actions. So it's not easy to pervade Ishvara in our mind. So the easiest way to do it is two actions. Wherever we are, do actions with respect to Ishvara. So Bhagavatam says, like, how were the gopis able to merge onto Ishvara so easily? So Vedantam, I've been trying for many years now, learning Vedanta, it's of no use. Something is like a different frequency, it is a different wavelength. I'm not saying for you alone, like, it's, if you ask him, he'll also say the same thing. If you ask me, I'll also say, like, whatever I am saying, yeah, I know, like, something is going above my head, I don't know. Don't know where it's going, somewhere it is going. So frequency different, so I haven't been. But how did the gopi is a person who is Gopala. Krishna is called Gopala, means cowherd. So people, they are cowherds, they are like farmers. Even maybe like farmers at least will know, okay, this should be the... The grass has to be cut this time, that time. So they'll know, they'll use equipments and all. Cowherds, what do? Nothing. Just like they have to control the cows, take them in the morning, come back in the evening, that's it. Cowherds, if such cowherd gopis could realize Ishvara, how did they do that? So Bhagavatam says that the gopis, like, in every action they tried to see Krishna. So whenever they would feed their children, they saw feeding Krishna. Whenever a gopi is helping her husband, it's as if she is helping Krishna. Their world became Krishna Mahima. And how did that happen? Obviously, Ishvara Mahima. So, the more and more a person learns about Ishvara's glory, automatically this devotion will come. So, the more strengthening, or like the more the knowledge about Ishvara gets strengthened, the more Krishna did all these activities of Govardhanam, Govardhana Giridhari, and all, like Kaliya Mardhana and all. Generally people get attracted. Of course, in this world, like, anybody can do it, so don't get attracted to somebody who lifts a mountain. Maybe, like, he can lift for 1 minute, like PC Sarkar, he can lift for 1 minute. The next time it can't happen. So it will be like the magician who tried to walk on water. He was able to walk, and when he tried to walk in the ocean, inside, that's it. So that will happen. So don't take just that. But for the gopis, Ishvara Mahima, like, they were filled with Ishvara Mahima. Like, they saw Ishvara's glory at all times. Krishna was always protecting them. They saw that Krishna, they were able to see that Krishna is not a mortal being. He is doing things which normal people cannot do. So the more they try to concentrate on Krishna as beyond the body, that is when a person becomes, like, that devotion gets strengthened. So that is how gopis got their devotion strengthened. So that is what Narada also says here, Amrita Swarupam. So immortal means we have to become one with Ishvara. Becoming one with Ishvara is trying to have Ishvara's thought as well as know the nature of Ishvara. So here itself, bhakti. Why do I need bhakti? Why do I need knowledge? Why do I need all this? Bhakti is needed. Why? Because it is parama premam. Oh, parama premam, I don't care. We do care. Like, premam, what is premam? Premam means, like, okay, I don't want to enter into a lot of Vedantic terms, but premam, the different types of anandam, the peak of anandam or the happiness peak is when a person, like, really gets the eternal bliss. That is the peak of anandam, priyam, modam and pramodam, all those. So premam, love, is generally, we consider it as attachment, the physical level, mental, emotional, intellectual, etc. But parama premam, supreme love, is when a person gets eternal bliss. That is supreme love. So we are seeking supreme love. And each minute we want to become immortal, we are think, man is trying of means, like, or preservation of body. So man thinks like preservation of body, okay, when I come back I can use it. So we are trying to be immortal each and every minute of our life. So immortality, bliss, all those are just synonyms. It's exactly the same thing. So bliss is what we seek. If we need that bliss, we need to know, we need to become a real bhakta, we need to get bhakti. Of course, don't get confused, bhakti is the same as jnanam, it's not different. Jnanam is there in bhakti, bhakti is there in jnanam, both are one and the same. Sadhyam, so we can say, in bhakti and jnanam, there is a goal bhakti, there is a path bhakti. So it's like telling that, oh, I want to go to New York. So while going to New York, I travel in the train. So while traveling itself, I can say, oh, this is New York, this is New York. Because the New York train is called New York train. So this New York train, this is New York, that's not New York, it's just a path. So there is a path and there is a goal. So when Narada speaks about bhakti here, so Narada is ultimately speaking about the goal bhakti. When Shankara speaks about knowledge, he is speaking about goal jnanam. So those are fools who consider, who don't differentiate the path. So they think, they equate the path of knowledge with the path of bhakti. Thereby they get deluded. The path may be different, it doesn't matter. The ultimate goal is what really matters. It doesn't matter whether we go to New York in by train or by car or by flight or a chopper, helicopter like Harrison Ford or anybody like that. Like if we have our own private chopper, we can directly go there. So it doesn't matter what means we follow. The goal is what really matters. Are we in New York? That is what really matters. Similarly, do we get Anandam? That is what really matters. So the goal is exactly the same. We don't need to confuse. But this bhakti that Narada says is exactly the same as jnanam. I am saying this again and again because many people get confused about bhakti and jnanam. They get so confused that they don't know, okay, I'm a bhakti oriented person, I'm a jnanam oriented person. As if both are different, both are not different. Whatever Narada says here, we know that whatever Narada is telling here is jnanam. Parama premam amritam and all can only be gained by that chit vastu or Brahman. Brahman can be known only because we are already there. We are already Ishvara, it's knowing that I am Ishvara, so that is knowledge, it is knowledge. So it doesn't matter what term we give, but without this bhakti or knowledge, without this bhakti that Narada speaks, that bhakti which is supreme love and immortal in nature, we will not get peace in life, our life will not be fulfilled. So even if we get some premam, some love towards Ishvara, that is not enough. We have to get supreme love. So 12th chapter of Gita, Krishna beautifully explained about a real bhakta. So those are ways to find out, how can I get real bhakti? And Narada Bhakti Sutra, when we learn Narada Bhakti Sutra, we will learn about bhakti, the greatness of bhakti, as to how bhakti is defined. What is bhakti? How many people define it? So this bhakti is nature. In nature, bhakti is supreme love and immortality in nature. But how do I get to that bhakti? So it is also required, the path. We already know that my eva mana adat swama buddhim niveshya. Sadly, the same thing Narada will be explaining in the later sutras. But for now, what is bhakti? So whenever somebody says, oh, I am a bhakta, immediately we should... There is no point arguing with people and saying, oh, you are not a bhakta. We should remember in our mind, what is bhakti? Bhakti is parama premam. So simple words, parama premam amritam. So bhakti is parama prema rupam amrita swarupam. So bhakti is supreme love and immortality. So that is bhakti. So if that is not there, on the way to bhakti, that's it. Oh, I am trying to be a bhakta. That is what we can say. And we know what trying to be a bhakta means. Trying to get anandam. Which means, no, don't have anandam. We can definitely know that. So if we look at a Mahatma like Amma, we can find that parama prema. Amma's love towards Ishvara is always there. Amma's love towards Ishvara. Amma's love towards Ishvara is not like our love towards Amma. Our love towards Amma is Amma is Ishta Devata, Amma is our Ishvara. So our love is different from Amma's love to Ishvara. Why? Because we see Ishvara as one person, whereas for Amma, Ishvara resides everywhere. So Amma's Parama Premam, we can find Amma's Parama Premam as the love towards everyone, because everyone is Ishvara for Amma. Our vision is still limited. It's not Parama Premam because we just see one person, one form, whereas Amma has gone beyond the form. So does Amma have Parama Premam? Amma only has Parama Premam. We don't have Parama Premam. If we have Parama Premam, then we will become immortal. So if we ask Amma, Amma, like, I am worried now, like, I may not realize in this birth, so will you be there for me next birth? We have already come across Amrita Surupananda asking the same question. So Amma will say, oh, my dear son, my dear daughter, I'm always there with you. I'll be there whenever you need. I'll be there. Yada yada hi dharmasya ghanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya dadatmanam vrijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. So for protecting good people, for upholding dharma, I'll take birth again and again. That is what Krishna says. So Amma will say, I'll always be there whenever you need me. So that means immortality is there. If we ask, oh, can you come for the bhajan? Oh, yeah, I'll come. Yeah. The head shaking also will be there. Yeah. Afterwards, oh, bhajan, oh, I forgot that. I'm really sorry. Oh, I really forgot. I'm really sorry. So some people try all those means. So that is mortality. For a person is limited, bound by laws, bound by death, bound by life, living and dying. Whereas when we become a real bhakta, we'll become immortal, then we will know that we are always there. We are never going to die. So we are not dying, the body is dying. Illusion. The dying itself is an illusion. There is only Ishvara here. So when we merge onto Ishvara, we go beyond Namarupam, so we will see everything is Ishvara. That is Amma's love, Amma's Parama Premam. Our love is still not Parama Premam. It's love for a particular form, that is fine, as Krishna says. Etu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha. So I will be their savior, don't worry. People who are at least devoted to the form, so people who have apara bhakti, lower devotion, they are different from Ishvara, but still they are devoted. That means they are constantly trying to think about Ishvara. They will also reach this parama premam. So how do we get parama premam? It's very simple. How do we get very attached to somebody? So as Amrita Sivupananda says, like, you travel in the bus daily and you see a beautiful girl touching her hair. Okay, he has said that, okay. Yeah, confirm. You can't deny it. Socrates will come in if you deny. So a beautiful girl is there, you look at her one day. The next day, oh, the same girl. Third day, oh, same girl. Fourth day, same girl. Fifth day, oh, the dress is good. Sixth day, oh, this is different dress, really good. Sixth, seventh day, the girl is nearby. Hi, how are you? Eighth day, it will be, oh, which phone do you have? What connection you have? AT&T, oh, iPhone, AT&T, really good. Let me see it. And then, like, get the number. And then it becomes one day, two days, and then finally marriage. And then divorce, that is the end. So, attachment, like, how does it grow? The more and more a person thinks, the more and more a person thinks about something, the more and more a person is with something, that is when attachment, that becomes a normal attachment. It's like any object in the world, the little girl, like, we don't even know the name of the girl. But after 1 year, like, we see that we are married to her, we'll be also thinking, oh, 1 year before, I didn't even know her. It is, and we'll also see, it's God's grace that I met you. 1 year, I didn't even, before 1 year, I didn't even know you. Now I'm married to you. Oh, I'm So blessed. So how did that happen? That is, morandhyayato vishayan pumsah sangaste shupajayate. So kamam or desire or attachment becomes love when it is directed towards Ishvara. So when Ishvara is the object, there is no kamam. The more dhyayatah, the more and more we concentrate, it's not kamam. Why it's not kamam? Because desire leads to anger, kamam leads to krodham. But here, the more and more a person gets kamam towards Ishvara, that will only help him in removing kamam. So it itself removes kamam. So it's like those girlfriends, like whom, like the more you date the person, the more you will go towards divorcing your wife. So it's like one is used to remove the other, and when the other is removed, oh, like when you were married, like I was dating a married guy, so that had a catch. That was a catchphrase. Now you are not married any longer, so no way, I'm going off. So something like that, using it something to remove. So that is how Ishvara's devotion towards Ishvara. So it's exactly the same thing. The more and more we contemplate on Ishvara, the more it goes towards Parama Premam. The more we proceed towards Parama Premam, the more we are towards real bhakti, the more we are towards immortality. And the more we are towards immortality, then all dukkham vanish. And for now, the dukkham of not starting from here will not vanish. Therefore, we'll stop here. Namaskar.